Woo! Hey guys, I'm Randy Rainbow, and you're listening to The Dana Cortez Show. Podcast. Love it.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Oh, I love this. It's time for
The Parent Score.
And today's question comes from TikTok.
Should 13-year-old kids be working?
That's a loaded question right there. Should 13-year-old kids be working? It's the Dana Cortez Show, and we always talk about issues that are happening in a family. Most times, young people will send us a message, and we have them and their parents on the air. But I thought this was such an incredible video. It went viral. The man's name is Joel Montiel. His dad was funny.
Is it Janelle?
And Joel Montiel. And he says that his dad made him work very hard at age 13, all the way till he was done with high school. Listen to this.
Should 13-year-old kids be working? Growing up as a son of an immigrant, I will never forget the days when my dad used to wake me up early in the morning to go help him pour concrete with the side jobs that he was doing. Every time that I didn't want to go, he'd say the same thing, a huevo, a ponerse las pilas. And when I'm talking about hard work, like, this is what I mean. I don't know how my dad's been doing it for so long. But I will say this, if it wasn't for those days that my dad made me go to work for him, I wouldn't have the work ethic that I do have today.
There's a part in there where he speaks Spanish where Joel says his dad said, "No, I don't care what you're feeling. You're going to get up whether you like it or not because we got to earn this money." And there's a reason his dad did this, and he explains. We'll play that part when we come back. But what are your thoughts initially? And everybody listening, 13-year-old hard work.
There's literally laws to prevent 13-year-olds from working.
So that's
just
a
state. And I think this man is privileged to have a very blessed father who led a great example. And I understand the message for what he's trying to say. And you don't have to do this the rest of your life. But I don't believe that's a way to convey hard work. Like, my mom didn't make me go to her, you know, nursing job and sit there
and
do that.
Well, they wouldn't let you at her nursing job. When you're pouring concrete, all hands on deck.
So that's exactly. That's why I don't think a kid needs to be working at that point. See, like, you just need to be planting yourself and applying other. That's what my mom was about. She was like, "Yo, make sure you're playing your sports, you're getting your grades right, so you can further your advance and think about where you want to go outside of this. I'm going to work for us right here."
Which makes sense, but like for me, I was raised a lot more like this guy. My dad owned a tree service company, and so from the time I was probably 10 years old, I would be going to jobs and I would be a brush boy. So that means they would cut down the tree limbs and I would have to pick them up and throw them in the back of the truck.
At age 10?
Yes. And then I would have to get in the back of the truck and jump on top of the tree brush to knock it down so you could fit more in there. So I knew all about working hard from 10, 11, 12. I worked for my dad till I was probably 21, 22 years old. And without that experience, I would not be in where I am in life because it taught me work ethic. It also taught me what I don't want to do. I don't want to wake up early, and I don't want to cut down trees.
You're still waking up early.
I don't have the waking up early, but it's the hard physical manual labor is what I decided when I was probably 15 years old. I'm going to make sure I get myself an education. I'm going to make sure I find something I love doing so I can wake up every single morning and do something I love. Not cutting down trees. That was for sure not one of my favorite things.
And there's a lot of blue-collar workers that make great money. Let's be real.
Oh, no, you can make great money doing that.
It's just not what you wanted to do.
It's just not what I wanted to do, and I decided early in life that that was not what I wanted to do.
Took you about 7 years to realize you're a sissy.
Oh.
Yes. That's what, just like,
I didn't know.
Just like TikTok boy over here. Started out pouring concrete, and now he's in his room being an influencer.
No,
right.
He's not. Actually, Joel Montiel is a wealth advisor. Has that nice, cushy job, makes a lot of money, and has over 30,000 followers on TikTok. So when we come back, we're going to play Joel explaining why his father made him work that manual labor until he was, you know, out of high school. And my question to you is it fair? Tap in on the phone lines, and I'll give you my verdict when
The Parent Score
returns. This is the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's the Dana Cortez Show. Listen to this.
Should 13-year-old kids be working?
So that's audio from Joel Montiel from TikTok. He is a wealth advisor now, son of immigrants, and a guy who was forced to work since age of 13. So he explains why his dad made him do it. Listen to Joel.
My dad always tells me now that the reason why he forced me to go is so that I understood what that felt like, so I didn't have to work that hard of physical labor for the rest of my life. Look, I'm seeing way too many parents let their kids stay home, play video games, play Fortnite all day where they should be working. And no, it's not forced child labor. It's just teaching them what work ethic actually is.
Now, the phones have not stopped ringing. about this particular topic because there's like mixed feelings. There's mixed feelings in the room, right? 13, that's crazy. Anthony's like, there's no way I'm going to go up to the hospital and help my mom. And Otto's like, I've been working since I was 10. There was nothing you could do. You didn't have a choice.
I had friends on my block that were working at Dunkin' Donuts at 13.
Well, I was thinking this
they lied about their age.
Yeah, obviously. I'm listening to this guy, Joel Montiel, and I lied too to get my first job. When you have a baby of 15, you got to go to work. This guy, Joel Montiel, he says, my dad was an immigrant. And I think about your dad, Automatic, my father-in-law, Dad-O-Matic, and he comes from poverty.
Yeah.
And so you work or you die. There's no other way of thinking. That's what you just, I mean, every day that you wake up, you're like, if I don't go to work, I don't eat.
Exactly.
And so there's a fear
of being broke.
Of being hungry. And sometimes, if you've never experienced being hungry, you don't really understand that. And that's where my verdict comes in. I am in no way advocating that kids start working at 13. I just can't do it. However, I live a privileged life now. I want to say that again. I live a privileged life now. Right now, there's kids waking up somewhere in this country getting up because they have to go to work to help their family. Somebody right now is picking our food. So we can sit down in our privileged dining room and enjoy that because they have to contribute to their family. They don't have a choice. So I think Joel probably, you know, his dad feared that for him. I don't want you to live this. I want you to have a better life. So I'm not saying it's okay. Yeah, I didn't want my daughters working when they were little, but I made them work around the house. They had to have good grades. Like there were rules, you know, inside the house.
Well, that sounds like better parenting than homie's dad over here.
Well, I think that it's not about better parenting. It's about what is necessary in your household. Like I said, that comes from a place of privilege. Right now, when you go out to eat today, or whatever it is you put in your mouth, there might have been a kid picking that food because they don't have a choice. We got choices up here, so we can sit up on our high horses and tell other parents what to do. But when you live in extreme poverty or when you live like that, I can't say, oh, I know exactly what that is because I don't. I've never been hungry. At least I can say that.
It's okay to instill some fear in your kids of being broke. That's the thing, is like being broke is not a good thing. And it's okay to be afraid of being broke. And the other thing, it's okay to teach your kid how to work. Work ethic is going to make
I feel like that's almost the mindset of the oppressed. Like, I feel like it's not going forward. It's like don't be broke. Like, my mom taught me to excel. So she went to work so I can excel raise up.
You're right. Like I said, that is a great thing. That's what I've done. But as I said again, when we all enjoy our meal today, remember, there's probably a little kid out there helping their parents because they don't have a choice. That's income for their families, and it's also a way for the parents to teach their children. We have a very good friend. He's a twin, and both boys became hugely successful. He's one of the youngest plastic surgeons in the country, and they lived on a farm. And his dad would tell them when they get up at 3 a.m.
A pecan farm.
If you want this life, then don't worry about school. You're breaking your back right now. If you don't, you better study. He's like, man, we study so hard, you don't even know. But they didn't have a choice. They had to work. So, yes, I hope that you have that choice. But please try not to condemn other parents that may not. All right, that's my verdict. If you ever have a parents' court you'd like us to try here on the Dana Cortez Show, follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. We'll be right back. That's today's
The Parents' Court.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You ever watch that late night TV and George Foreman comes on, he looks right at you and he's doing that commercial for InventHelp and he says, do you have an idea for an invention? And you think maybe I could do it? Well, one man has done it. His name is Moses Shriver. Listen to what he invented.
This new European invention could help keep motorcyclists safe. Meet airbag jeans.
What'd you say?
Airbag jeans.
That's what I thought you said. WTF story here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
All right, Moses had an idea and he made it happen. He actually partnered with Harley Davidson, Sweden, 16 years ago, promised them that he could make it happen, and it's done.
Took him 16 years to put airbags inside of jeans?
Well, relax, dude. It's the same guy who parted the Red Sea, okay? So cut him a break, dude. Part of the Red Sea, inflatable jeans.
I was going to say, those are two different Moseses, but hey.
Who's Moseses?
Okay, whatever.
So how do these
airbag jeans
work? News lady, tell us.
These pants have concealed airbags inside the legs. Riders teeter them on their bikes and If they fall, the airbags are triggered and filled up with compressed air. These can be deflated and used again multiple times. The inventor is hoping to have them on sale next year.
All right, so Moses only has one prototype of the airbag jeans currently made. He's in the process of getting the jeans certified to European Union health and safety standards, and then they'll be marketed all over the world. Have you ever thought about an invention? What would you invent?
Oh, I don't know if I have anything as genius as this, but...
That's pretty good.
I don't know if this is genius, because if you go out in public, and let's say you have a fall, all of a sudden your pants inflate. Let's say you're at the club. Some girl backs it up a little too hard on you. All of a sudden, your pants inflate. I'm not telling you, these things are an accident waiting to happen.
Are those airbag jeans? Are you just happy to see me? What would you invent, DJ Automatic?
I would invent the special remote that mutes my wife anytime she just starts going off too much.
Now what are you going to do if I don't talk? Now what are you going to do?
Live peacefully. Because you can still cook, clean, and put out.
Not tonight. I promise you that. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show. That's today's WTF.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if the world is ready for the debate today. It might be one of the most serious debates we've ever had. To face the shower head or not face the shower head? That is the question. It's the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, TJ Automatic, and Anthony A.
What are we debating? I don't exactly understand what
when
you're trying to say.
When you step into the shower, DJ Automatic, do you face it or do you turn around and give your back to the shower head? Oh. Now, I didn't know that this has been a debate that's been going on literally for more than two decades. I had no idea, or at least on the internet. I started looking it up, and I mean, I was like, what?
It's probably been going on since the history of shower heads, right?
And probably.
I am a face-forward shower person because that's how I like to approach my life.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
I like to tackle problems head-on. I like to say, you know what? Water, rain on me. Get on my face. Let's do this. Let's get ready for tomorrow.
Well, I guess now that I think about it, I turn my back to the shower head. I like the shower to hit me in the back of the neck. Gives me a little massage, and it allows me to think clear.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I see you are taking do not face the shower head side, DJ Automatic.
Of course,
Anthony
not.
A, you are taking I'm facing the shower head like I face my problems.
Yes, grab life by the bull of the horns.
Be ready. We're debating that when we come back.
That's a bull of the horns.
You did. I'm like, how many
horns of the bull?
Can I wrap this up without laughing? Which do you do? 833 Dana Show. The debate continues with your calls when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Big debate today inside the Dana Cortez Show. Very serious. Do you face the shower head when you enter the shower, or do you turn your back to the shower head when you're taking a shower? That is the question. I'm not so sure an in-depth conversation like this has ever happened. But you
serious
know what?
Stuff here.
Man, no holes barred here. Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. I'm the judge. I would like to ask Anthony A. to step up to the bench and give your arguments as to why you decide to face the shower head.
The number one reason why I like to shower facing the shower head is because, Dana, you know it's not always good to wash your hair every single day, every time you shower,
I know this. You know, you're right.
Now,
you're right.
You know, I could relate to this. My ladies, you know, you ladies out there with long
Excuse
hair.
Excuse me, sir. I need to... For you to refer to me as your honor, though, during this particular
segment. Your honor, Dana Cortez, and the ladies out here, you know, when you have long hair, I have a rat tail. I don't always want my rat tail to be wet, and, you know, I'm not ready to clean it that day. So when you're facing the shower forward, your hair don't get messy. So if I'm not cleaning my rat tail, definitely face forward. Now, the second reason—
I just thought about something. You actually have to shampoo that little rat tail of yours.
I do.
DJ Automatic, step away from the bench.
Yeah.
This is Anthony A's.
That's the idea.
You want to get in my shower? You want to stay in my shower? I'm in my shower.
I will hold you in contempt.
Okay, sorry.
Anthony,
go ahead.
Continue.
Go ahead.
And the next reason is because when you face the shower forward, that's the best place to start your shower concert. Okay? You let the water hit you, and you put your hands up like you've had a long day, very dramatic, and then you slowly start your intro from there. That's the second reason why I shower.
Question, Anthony.
It makes me feel like Prince.
Okay, so that was, I was going to ask, do you sing Prince? Are you rapping? What are you doing?
I cover Prince's halftime performance when he performed in the Super Bowl with the rain on.
Okay.
Kind of makes me feel like that a little bit. So makes you feel sexy, and you don't have to get your hair wet if you're not washing it that day.
And is that all you have?
And I'm not a psycho. How about that? All right, how about that?
Step away from the bench. DJ Automatic, it is your turn. Why do you turn your back to the shower head when you're showering?
The first thing I want to do is debunk one of his theories over here is that facing the shower while singing is better. Everybody sings in the shower. Why would you want the water in your mouth when you're trying to sing? When you're trying
Maybe
to hit those high notes?
Maybe he's practicing for later activities. I don't know.
I don't know either. I just wanted to debunk that little theory. But the next thing is that it just feels natural to have your back. I mean, the other, you know, who wants all that hot water in the face? You can't sing. Mm. It's bad for your skin. According to my wife, she says don't put hot water on your face because it ages you. So that's one of the reasons why I go with, I don't care if my back of my neck looks aged, okay? The next reason is,
you have an old neck?
I don't want an old, I'll have an old back of the neck. I don't want an old face.
Okay.
All right. The next thing is when I have my back to the shower, I'm in attack mode. Have you not seen Psycho? Oh, when they throw that curtain open, I could protect myself. And if I was ever in jail, I for sure wouldn't have my face towards the shower because I got to protect myself.
Okay. Okay. All right. I have made my decision.
Well, I'm not done.
Oh my gosh. You have another reason.
Do you sit on the toilet backwards too?
What are you trying to say by that?
I'm saying that you're unsophisticated.
What's the final reason, DJ Automatic? I need to come to my verdict.
Come on with your little jailbird bath over here.
Plus, I also want to be ready for my wife, the Honorable Dana Cortez, to jump in the shower. Because I got to be ready for her to come. You know, you think it's for sexy time. What it's really for is me jockeying for space inside the shower. I got to be ready for her to come because she tries to take all the good hot water.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to get in there to get some loving, and you're fighting over the hot water? Anthony A., you win a debate. There you go.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There's one thing that really attracts a woman. Let me tell you something. Every lady listening knows. When you meet a man who's got it going on, he's got a job, man. He owns his car, got his own spot. That's so attractive. That being said, there's some rules inside that home you've created you better be following. SOS Sick and Single is the Dana Cortez Show. Only single one in the room here is Anthony A. And
all of what Dana just said, all that being said, I am not that guy. Okay, so the reason we're talking about this, I got to travel back in my own mind to one of my Bumble matches. She was actually a traveling nurse, which is basically at this point like an exotic gypsy, all right? And it was going great. We were hitting it off. The date was fun, this and that. And next thing I know, she goes and opens up my refrigerator, and all I hear is go, oh, my God, Anthony, there's nothing in here. And I was like, there's a case of water and some bananas. All right?
Keep your bananas in the fridge?
That's a whole other debate.
Listen, they weren't bad, but they were a little bruised.
Oh, okay.
No wonder she never called you back.
She left 45 minutes after that. And I was like, you shouldn't be driving. She's like, don't worry about that. You can get your priorities together.
Well, I figured it wasn't you personally that was going to, you know, be the face of the clean apartment when DJ Automatic went to your spot and said you had fur on your toilet.
Again, one time, dude. You went there one time and it was not clean. And Automatic, I can only imagine how your apartment was before you met your wife, Dana Cortez.
I never would spend the night with him because it was so bad.
Oh, come on now.
Never did. You used to come to my place. Don't lie.
Dana, you stayed at my apartment on Oak.
Never.
In Houston, you stayed there.
Yeah, because by then I was comfy and I was washing everything.
That is true. My mom came to visit me and she was like, what woman do you have in your life? Because your toilet is way too clean.
Smell like Fabuloso and Downy.
Oh, right. My God.
So give us the first tip. All right, guys. And ladies, we need to know if you agree. Is this what you got to do with your apartment, your house, whatever you've got, in order to get some loving from a woman?
Number one, full fridge. Bam. And by full fridge, I mean two cases of water, baby. Take them out the bag. They take up a lot of stock. You put a pizza box in there. Next thing you know, you're cooking.
You got a 40 and you're set.
Oh, the second one is good towels. You gotta have good towels.
You can impress a woman with good towels.
And they don't have to be expensive. Big Lots, Dollar General, whatever it may be, get them. But make sure you get hand towels because women love hand towels. You gotta get a hand towel.
Hand towels.
I don't know if this is on your list. I don't want to ruin it if it is. But if you have nice sheets.
Oh!
That is like, you are bam, bam.
Okay, on that, why don't we come back with the three things you got to do if you want to really get some loving when she's coming over. We'll list them when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I still remember the first time my love, DJ Automatic, invited me into his apartment, and I said, man, I ain't sleeping here. No way.
You might not have slept there.
SOS sick and single here on the Dana Cortez Show. There's some things you got to do to your spot, guys, to make sure you get some love in. We just listed a couple, Anthony.
Yes, and after that conversation, we're going to start with some extra sheets. Make sure you have extra sheets and good towels. By good towels, I mean clean towels and hand towels. Do not forget the hand towels, please, homies.
Bread count is everything on those sheets, guys.
Yeah, hello. It really is. And who taught you that?
Dana Cortez.
That's right, baby. That's right, automatic.
I didn't know the way of thread count.
And the hand towel is very important because I don't want to dry my hands on a towel that you've rubbed your nether regions with. Ooh. I just don't want to do it.
All right, and I got a full fridge. I'll list more of that detail inside Two Dudes, One Studio because we got to get to this one right here. Homies, for your first apartment or place of living, get yourself a couch and get that mattress off the floor. All right? Get yourself a couch, yo. Come on.
I remember my first apartment going to buy that, my first couch, and I bought a TV system. I got a bed. Mm. And I'm
like a man, huh?
And it took me 10 years to pay for it because it was all student loan money. You helped me furnish my first apartment, Dana.
And entertain other women.
The
last and final tips for my homies getting their new place of living. Plates and dishes. No more solo cups. Woo! All right? And a little bonus tip, get some wine glasses. Oh. Right? Get some wine glasses. Get some little cheap white glasses.
What does it say about paper plates in there? Because I know I needed paper plates in order just to, because, I mean, I never did dishes. I hate doing dishes. And so,
didn't you let the dishes pile up so badly that after a year there were like maggots and all kinds of bugs living in your sink?
Yeah, we just throw them away.
Okay.
Yeah, there wasn't bugs and maggots in my sink, but that was when I was living with my brother and neither one of us wanted to do dishes. And there was just a sink full of dishes. And you know what I just told him? I looked at him and said, "You going to do them?" And he said, "No." And I just grabbed a trash bag and I just threw them all. And I said, "Paper plates and solo cups for the rest of our time living together."
I hate apartment relationships. And like when you have roommates and stuff, I hate them. Because sometimes it's just so complex.
It's true.
That was great. That was a good way to end it. We're listing the five things you need to do. Gentlemen, if you want to get some loving from that lady right now, ladies, be sure and let us know if Anthony A. got it right. At Dana Cortez on Instagram, Facebook, Dana Cortez Show, and TikTok. Go tap that like button.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We were all laughing at Bernie Sanders' meme mittens. Remember the meme?
Oh.
With the little mittens?
How can we forget? It was literally everywhere.
Well, look who's laughing now. Bernie raised $2 million.
What?
All because of his mittens. WTF story time here on the Dana Cortez Show. Well, I mean, the thing is people were very interested in the mittens. So what does Bernie Sanders do? Of course, he decides to sell merch. But for a good cause.
Not only are we having fun, what we're doing here in Vermont is we're going to be selling around the country sweatshirts and T-shirts, and all of the money that's going to be raised, which I expect will be a couple of $1 million, will be going to programs like Meals on Wheels that feed low-income senior citizens. So it turns out actually to be a good thing and not only a fun thing.
After only 7 days, every single merch item that Bernie Sanders put up has completely sold out. And they donated every dollar to charity.
I love the internet.
I
love the internet, but we literally put Bernie Sanders everywhere but the White House.
True.
So, like, come on. It's a little counterproductive.
All right. So you are creating your merch item. This is your dream, Anthony.
We get to create our own merch item?
So go Anthony first. What are you selling to the people for charity?
This is already LLC'd, so do not try to steal it, ladies and gentlemen. I present to you Anthony A's Pooper Scooper Doggy Bags.
Okay.
I'm still working on the name.
I'm still working on the name a little bit. So, like, the little dog bags that you use at, like, the dog park?
Yeah, I'm going to come up with my own branded ones. And
instead of a
those.
Bone as a case, you should use your head.
Hello.
And the tongue would be the roll of bags coming out. Get it?
Okay.
I like where this is going,
A little more graphic than I envisioned, but no idea is a bad idea.
DJ Automatic, you are creating your own merch. What are you selling it for charity?
To be honest, I've never thought of, like, creating my own merch besides T-shirts.
You're a DJ.
I sell T-shirts and hats and all that, but Anthony inspired an amazing idea.
Let's go.
Okay, the branding and marketing that's going behind your Pooper Scooper stuff inspired me to do DJ Automatic urinal cakes.
Yes, sir!
Put my picture on it, and guess what you could do? I'll let you figure it out.
Yeah, that's brilliant. There we go. Thank you, Bernie Sanders. Dana Cortez?
I've been thinking about this for years, and I've been talking about it on the radio, but I can't find a seamstress or a designer. But Pat! pads that don't show. Because I've bought every brand of butt pad and I can't wear them. Because you can tell when you have a butt pad on. Every time I've worn my butt pad, I'm like, damn, you can totally tell.
Butt pads are very on brand for you. I like this.
I have a flat butt. What can I say?
Oh my gosh. I came up with the perfect name for your butt pads.
Let me have it, DJ Automatic. What are we calling my butt pads?
Long backs.
I'm not kidding. I want to create the perfect butt pad. All right, that's today's WTF. Back with more of the Dana Cortez Show coming up right after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You ever been in a relationship and you just love this person so much and you don't understand why because you're miserable? And you feel like you're going to die without that person, right? You're being mistreated, but there's just something about them that you think you can change. You believe you're in love. And earlier this week, we got a call from a woman here on the Dana Cortez Show, and that's exactly what she was feeling.
Girl, I just need to let my feelings down, and I will put my on blast.
What?
Girl, what's going on?
Okay, so my baby daddy that I've been with my 8 years got locked up. This fool got out of jail. You know, like, after everything he did, you know, my kids got taken away because this fool decided to lay hands on me. They got him for domestic violence, right? So now this mother over here around with his.
After all that, after everything you said, and now he's seeing another woman?
And he had some nerve to hit me up, talking about I got your man.
I just can't believe that she would call you and disrespect you like that, especially over him. This man is not worth either of your time.
That is breaking me right now.
Don't, mama. Don't let that break you. Let me tell you something. You are worth so much more than that. You stood by a man who went to jail, and he came out and showed you who he is. So don't you think about those good times, because there haven't been enough good times. Those are all lies you're telling yourself. That man isn't worth your time or your love or your tears. You're going to find a man that shows you what real love is, and you're going to wonder why you stayed with this man. I promise you, you're going to get there. Don't let him bring you down. You don't give him that power.
And it just breaks me because I can't even start a new relationship because I'm not even healed. I feel like I'm just going to hurt other people.
You're definitely not ready for a new relationship. You aren't. You got to get right with yourself. You got to heal that hole in your heart. And get right with you and your kids and everything before you can be okay to be with another person. Because you're right, you're just going to end up hurting them and end up hurting yourself. Be alone for a little bit. Figure out who you are, what you want, and then you'll be able to move forward when you're healed.
Okay.
I know some people listening right now think that woman is stupid. You'll call her all kinds of names. I can't believe she's with a man like that. I can't believe she would put a man in front of her kids. All these things judging her, never having experienced abuse. And the reality is it can happen to anyone. You can be brilliant. You can be rich. You can be white, black. You could be whoever. You could be a man. And when you are abused, that person has broken you to a place that when you finally crawl out, God willing, you don't even recognize who you were, where you were. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I am so, and I've said it before and I'll continue to say, I'm so like embarrassed of who I was at that time because I was so broken. I really believed I was nothing and could find no one else and my life wasn't worth living without this person.
You know what, Dana? You don't need to be sad about that. You need to go back in time mentally and give that Dana Cortez a hug and let her know.
She does need a hug.
Let her know that it's going to be okay.
A hug and a diet plan.
Oh, dude. Whoa.
Emotional abuse. I cry emotional abuse.
I mean, come on, man.
You had to lighten it
not
up.
Not right now. Lighten it up. It was way too serious.
That was lighting it up, dude. That's
it was a joke.
Can I bring it back around to tell this woman, I love you, and any woman or man who's going through this, I love you. You're worth way more than what this person has made you believe you're worth. But my question is, why are some men just jerks like that? It's what guys think. And we ladies get to ask any question we want. So I'm going to ask the question for this woman and for a lot of women. Why do some of you just decide you want to be mean and belittling to your partner?
Oh, there's a multitude of reasons, but it's literally not rocket science. Like,
no.
There's a couple different things.
I got a few theories.
Okay, so we come back, you'll answer the question. And may I ask a man who's listening, if you've ever treated a woman like this, I would like to hear from you why.
It's your time to own up, dog.
Yeah.
It's your time to own up.
Are you doing it right now? I don't know that you'll have the Spaldings to tell us. but I want to know. Tap in on the phone lines. They're open. We'll come back with your answers, automatic Anthony A, and your calls when What Guys Think returns.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
When we got this call earlier this week from this woman, she literally broke my heart when I heard her.
That is breaking me right now. And it just breaks me because I can't even start a new relationship because I'm not even healed. I feel like I'm just going to hurt other people.
You know, she goes on to break down the fact that he was incarcerated, got out, abused her, hit her. Physically abused her, emotionally abused her, seeing another woman. This woman calls her all kinds of bees and everything else. And she is emotionally distraught.
She's broken.
Torn up. She's broken. And from personal experience, a lot of people might be saying, oh, Dana, why doesn't she just leave? And why? Because that's what people would ask me. You're stupid. You're ridiculous at this point. Nobody wanted to hear it. And it's because that person has broken you down emotionally, physically, especially if it's a combination of emotional and physical abuse. You're afraid and you really believe you can't find anybody else. And I know this woman can find somebody else because I did. I found two other people after that relationship was over. But it's not about finding a partner. It's about finding yourself. You have to love yourself, though, before you can move on. I, unfortunately, wasn't healed and jumped into a relationship that didn't work out.
Question for you, Dana. Was it harder to get over the first heartbreak or is it harder to get over the second one? You said you moved on twice.
A heartbreak is different than abuse, though.
Okay.
This was abuse. It's not a heartbreak. It's your whole, psyche is broken.
Okay.
You're broken as a person.
Did you feel like when you took on the second one, you were a little bit stronger mentally?
Yeah,
and stuff
for
like
sure,
that?
For sure. Because it was a normal relationship.
And it was a rebound relationship.
Gotcha. I'll tell you that the man I was married to before DJ Mike is a wonderful person. Oh. We just didn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Okay, but I would think I've been like that jerk mentality of a man where you're a predator almost, all right? And he has her feeling so manipulated that she doesn't
yes.
know what she's feeling anymore. And then your ego creeps up on you and your pride reminds you that's your prize. That's your man. So you're going and pushing it. And the reason why some guys continue to do it is because women continue to have sexy time with these men.
They're as faithful as their options.
Exactly. And as long as he's getting that nook, he's going to keep doing what he can get away with. And I'm speaking from a guy. I've never done anything like this. I never put hands on a woman. But looking back on it, I've moved fast through life. And some women I didn't like. I thought I wasn't being a jerk, but I was rude. I was on the go. I was sleeping with them, not replying to their texts, not doing anything like that. And it was because I knew I could get it.
Because no matter what, she was going to keep coming back.
And the moment she cuts him off, and it's easier said than done, I get it, because sexy time with the father of your kids is like passionate and emotional and all that, but you got to cut it off right there.
One thing I want to say, because Anthony said, once you cut it off and whatnot, I don't want you to think that sometimes a man like that can change either. If someone's putting your hands on you, you could die.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got to just leave that person. Most times men who do that won't change.
I think that we can even take this a level even deeper. And
okay,
it really comes down to the relationship this man had with his mother. If he even had a relationship, because he doesn't know how to treat a woman. He doesn't know how. In turn, he thinks that toxic masculinity that he's, displaying by going out and hitting the woman and cheating on her makes him look tough and makes him look like a real man.
You don't even know how his father or whoever his mother had in her life was treating her.
Yeah, I mean, in all reality, it can be a self-defense mechanism to so people don't really get to know him. So people don't really, it's like his shell around him.
And he's not even.
To hit somebody, you don't understand what that's like.
No, I don't. I've never hit a woman.
I don't want to break down. To have someone you care about hurt you like that, and you're afraid, and you can't do anything. You're like a child. You're like a little kid. All of those answers still don't answer my question. How can someone be so cruel? How can someone be so mean? If someone is physically harming you, leave. If you're in that situation, you better get out. Because it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
I think the answer is that they're hurting that bad. I mean, the man was in prison. He got out. He's still hurting. He doesn't know how to deal with it. I mean, there's no excuse.
But I think
you're trying to explain it.
Dana, to your point, though, I worry if you almost have to have put a little bit of thought into not overthinking it and just accepting that some people are jerks. Like, some people are here with evil intentions. And that's just no other answer for it.
Most men that go to prison, not most, but a lot of men that go to prison aren't usually
the best guys. I'm a big believer in second chances.
So am I.
I don't even want to make
a
prison
third,
thing.
Fourth, fifth, yeah, exactly.
Because we know people
that's
we
not
work
true.
With who be playing their wives.
I mean, no, there's people who listen to us that are in prison and they write us all the time and they seem like they're pretty good guys.
And listen, as a guy who spent 48 hours in jail, sometimes things happen. Okay?
Oh, this right. No, this guy's in prison, not jail.
Well, no, she said he was incarcerated. She didn't say prison.
Well, I've been in bookings. Okay.
You know what? Back to the answers. I understand where you guys are coming from, but there's never an excuse for anyone, man or woman, to put their hands on you. And as a woman who's been in that situation, get out. It never gets better. It only gets worse. If you ever need a person to talk to, I'm here for you. Hit me on Instagram, DM me, at Dana Cortez. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You just signed that new lease and you just moved in, but realize your TV's still sitting on your moving boxes. For the homies out there, I got 4 tips you need to hear in order to have that sexy time romance in your new place. I just want me to 2 dudes.
1 studio.
Did that make sense?
It did to a certain extent, but what you're trying to say is like how to pimp out your apartment so you can get the girls.
Yes, exactly. So you're not living like your boy Anthony A here.
Bruh.
Up until last week, dude, I didn't even have a toothbrush holder. For like 3.5 years that I've been living in my apartment.
What did you put your toothbrush in?
Just a cup.
Oh.
Just a cup like a savage.
I thought you were savage and just put it on the sink.
Like that's where my yeah. That's really bad, dude. You're doing bad. You're down and out where you're doing bad like that. But that's where my life's at. When I bought the toothbrush holder, I was like, I'm growing up. Look at me.
Let's go.
How much did it cost?
It was like $2, but still, I was like, this is an investment, y'all. This is an investment.
You know what? That $2 is going to last you a lifetime because you're going to have that toothbrush holder forever.
So, the homies, if you're just moving into a new place, the first thing you need to remember, buy plates and dishes. Do not use the plastic cups, the solo cups, the plate. Oh, what are you shaking?
I am going to strongly disagree with that. What? I'm a paper plate fanatic.
It's lit.
Okay. I hate doing dishes.
How about this? We'll co-sign on a paper plates, but get some wine glasses.
Okay.
Ladies love wine glasses.
For sure. I would say you got to have at least a couple real glasses, some wine glasses, and maybe 2 real plates.
Now, this is something that I hardly have, but make sure you get yourself a full fridge. Okay?
Oh. How do you do that as a single man?
Well, easy. You got 2 cases of water, unpack them there. That fills up the whole top. Buy 2 boxes of pizzas, leave them there, even if they're empty. It just makes it feel full.
Let's go.
Got a lot of condiments. Okay? A lot of ketchup, a lot of mustard. Stack it on the side. Good to go.
Girl opens that refrigerator and sees nothing. She says, not only is he empty in his heart, he's emptying his refrigerator.
Yeah. The next thing you need to do, get a couch and get that mattress off the floor, y'all.
Man, let me tell you, that has got to be the worst turnoff for any woman to show up to your house and you got a futon mattress on the floor.
I'm not. A futon mattress on the floor? Woo!
I'm speaking from prior experience.
I'm not going to, you know, try to shade the ladies from my past, but shout out to the ladies who were with me when my mattress was on the floor, because I felt like once my mattress got off the floor, the quality of ladies I got better as well, too.
I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
And the last thing we will close on, the last thing you need in your apartment to secure that final touch on this amazing bachelor pad, some good towels.
Let's go.
Oh. Get you some good towels. And by good, I mean clean towels.
Egyptian cotton.
Okay.
If you got the money for them, go ahead and do it.
And take this little note with you. That means hand towels too, homies. Women love hand towels, all right?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.